Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
With Jesus in the upper room, or in the upper room with Jesus, from John 13. Through to John 17. And of one verse for you today, and it's going to appear up in the screens in a moment. It's verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And I want to talk about peace this morning, as Jesus promised us. We've been taking a long time to go through John 13 up till now. And here we are, just at the end of chapter 14. And we'll probably have to fast forward and start something fresh after Christmas and New Year. But this is a very, very important text, speaking about the peace that Jesus offered to his disciples. The word peace is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. So I would say to us today that for a verse to be, a subject to be mentioned as many times as that, would mean to me that God wants us to understand something of such a wonderful subject. And I pray that we'll come to an understanding of that subject today, but not only come to an understanding of it, but we'll actually experience the peace of God. People did in the earlier service. And I think this subject is as much needed to be heard today, and as much important as it was back in the days when Jesus shared it. I've heard numerous people say on numerous occasions, "I just want peace," or "I just need peace." And this is something that obviously Jesus offers. The first mention of peace goes back to the days of Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Where you might remember, if you're a Bible scholar and aware of these things, it doesn't matter if you're not aware of these things, but Abraham was, God entered into a covenant relationship with Abraham. And before, you might recall that time when the sacrificial animals were split in two and a smoking fire pot came through the center, symbolizing of God's covenant with Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham experienced a moment of darkness, and then God spoke these words into his life in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 15. "You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age." And that's a great verse. I think we would all appreciate a verse like that, if God says that we're going to die in peace and that we're also going to live to a good old age. And that's the first mention of peace in the Bible. You will remember, of course, that at the Christmas time, that the angels sang about the peace of God. The glory to God in the highest was part of what they sang, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. So it's there right in the very beginning. It's there when the Lord Jesus came into this world. And also, it's there in the book of Revelation, where there's greetings to the seven churches, which includes a greeting of peace. So the Greek word for peace is the word Eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E. And it's from where we get Irene from. So if you're here today called Irene, and I know there's people here today called Irene, that's what your name means. It means peace. And that's where that name comes from. So today I want to look at the context and the concept of peace and the comfort, and then the challenge that this brings to us today. So faced with the reality of the Lord Jesus departing, faced with the reality of all that was going on in these moments, these final moments up in the upper room before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he sensed this need to speak these words of peace into the lives and the hearts of the disciples at that moment in time. Now, peace is a greeting in many religions, and Greece is also Greece. Peace is also a benediction as well. And so you'll get in the epistles, you'll get grace, mercy, and peace. And you'll get people in the Jewish tradition and in other world religions where people will greet each other with peace. And some traditions in church today, in the middle of their services, they will bring peace to one another. It's a lovely concept. And the Bible says that when you enter a home, let your peace rest on it. And this word for peace, the Hebrew word for peace, some of you will already know, is the word shalom. And it doesn't just mean the absence of strife. It doesn't just mean like there's no noise and all is still. It's actually a very rounded, full word. It means actually, as one commentator would say, wholeness, completeness, health, security, even prosperity in the best sense. When you are enjoying God's peace, there is joy and contentment. Another commentator says it means total well-being in every aspect of your life. Your health, your marriage, your children, and a commentator wrote in brackets, lots of them, your relationship with your neighbor, your crops, your herds, your vines, your fruit trees, the weather, feasts, worship and celebration. Darren was telling me in between today, between the services, that at her work last week, that she helped someone, and they came from a Jewish tradition, and they turned around and said to her, shalom. So they actually used this word that was the Hebrew word. It meant all that blessing. And if I would go to a person's house and then pray, then one of the things that I would do as a result of that verse, it says, let your peace rest on it. I would usually pray for the peace of God to be in that home when I leave, that the peace of God would remain. And so it's a very, very full word, the Hebrew concept of peace. And in Numbers 6, with that song, during the COVID shutdown, I think one of the wonderful things that came out of that was that beautiful song where we sang the blessing. Remember, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. It's part of that. It was part of the blessing that God wanted. God wanted the priests of his day to put peace onto his people. I'm just reminded, as I say that just now, I didn't say it at the first service, of a story of a man, and he was visiting Israel for the first time, and he says that he looked out of the coach where they were, and there was a man, and he was driving the sheep through the streets of whatever ancient city it was. And so he said to the tour guide, he says, that's really strange. The Bible says that the Lord is our shepherd and he leads us. But yet this shepherd is driving the sheep. And he says, that's not the shepherd, it's a butcher. So the butcher was driving him because that's where he was going. They were going to their impending doom. But God said shepherds and leaders over his people. I believe it that bringing blessing and peace is an important part of that. The Lord Jesus, of course, is the Prince of Peace. And in Ephesians chapter 2, in our communion slot of the first service, Daniel Brown was speaking, and he was speaking from Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, he speaks about peace and how Jesus came. And the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile was broken down by making one person, one new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the disciples would have been worried and anxious, what's going on? Jesus already said that Peter is going to betray him. He's spoken about his pending death, and so he's speaking peace into that situation. You know, the most wonderful thing I think about this peace is when we need it most, God gives us it. So when we need peace, he brings peace into our situation. He's already said why they shouldn't be troubled. Remember, he'd said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. He explained them why he was about to leave them. He was explaining to them that he would return. And he assured them that the Holy Spirit would come and be to them all that they needed at that time. But Jesus was giving them his peace into that situation. Matthew Henry is an old Bible commentator. He said when he was about to leave into this world, Jesus made his will. His soul he committed to his Father. His body he bequeathed to Joseph to be decently interred. His clothes fell to the soldiers. His mother he left to the care of John. But what should he leave to his poor disciples that had left all for him? He didn't have silver or gold. but he gave that which was infinitely greater, his peace. And so that's the context in which this verse comes to us. And then we have this concept of peace, this broad concept. It's far bigger than the absence of strife, because, you know, as believers, we know what we would call we've got peace with God. But before that, before we come to that, we're at enmity with God. We might not be deliberately at enmity with God, but we are at enmity with God. We're not in that relationship with God that he wants us to be. And yet he wants us to be in that relationship with him. And so the mindset of a person who does not know God doesn't have the life and peace that Jesus has for us. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 and 6 that the mind of sinful man is death, but the life controlled, the mind controlled by the Spirit, is life and peace. And so for a believer, that life and peace is meant to be a characteristic of that person walking with Jesus. And before that, if you was to read up on this verse, you'll find lots of commentators saying lots of things about what it means to know that peace of God. And some of them refer back to Isaiah 57 and verse 20. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And a characteristic of a person before they come to faith is they don't have that peace in their heart. There's that restlessness within their spirit. There's a troubling of conscience when we do things that are wrong. Where do we go with that? How do we deal with these kind of things that go on in our heart and mind and spirit? But when we come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we have peace with God. And it's a wonderful thing to have that peace with God, to know that it is well in our relationship between Father and ourselves. Peace with God and also peace with each other. Jesus came to be the Prince of Peace. That's what the angels declared, as I mentioned earlier on. And that peace won't be fully realized until the Lord Jesus comes back to reign in all his glory. But when he was coming in on Palm Sunday and coming into Jerusalem, they were declaring that the Prince of Peace was coming. But sadly, the Jewish authorities, they had the opportunity to release Jesus. And Pilate gave them that opportunity, but they said, release Barabbas. They rejected the Prince of Peace, which was really sad. And yet Jesus offered them his peace. And he cries out from the depths of his being, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. And he was offering peace. And he's offering peace today. If we do not know him in a personal way, Jesus is still offering. We've heard today that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's offering that peace to us today. Do not reject his peace. But it's his peace. It's a different type of peace from what the world would give. And if you were to look at Jesus' life, you will find that he walked in peace. I never read of Jesus being upset or in a panic or like anxious. He seemed to walk in that place of peace. And I think perhaps the best picture of that is when the Lord Jesus is out in the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. And remember, the storm came up, and it was, and these hardened fishermen were upset because of the storm. And where's Jesus? He's sleeping in a pillow at the back of the boat. And so the storm's going on all round about, and yet Jesus is sleeping in the stern of the boat. And I reckon that's a picture that God would have us embrace in our hearts and minds and spirits today, is that we can have peace in the middle of the storm. Because I think that we are looking for peace in the sense that there's no storms. And my experience of life is that there are always storms. There are always challenges. There are always things going on in our heart and life and minds, and our situations around about us, and our workplace, and our relationships. And God wants us to have, God wants you to have, and he wants me to have peace now, in spite of what's going on. So all kinds of turmoil might be going on in your heart and mind today. But God wants you to have peace in the middle of the circumstances, in the middle of the situation today. And we see that in the Lord Jesus. We see it even in Gethsemane with all that's going on. The Lord Jesus is very much in control. In agony, yes. In travail, yes. Burdened, yes. But walking in that sense of peace. At his arrest, like the disciples drew the sword, Peter cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And the Lord Jesus is there ministering at that moment in time and healing that servant. He's in control. He's walking in peace. And his opening words to his disciples after his resurrection, peace be with you. And his peace is cosmic in scope. We probably have no idea of the concept of all that God wants to do with the Prince of Peace. You know, there's a future reign of Jesus coming. In this world at this moment in time, there's all kinds of kings and kingdoms and rulers and authorities and all kinds of things going on. At the same time as the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is at work. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus in a personal way are part of his kingdom. King Jesus reigns in our hearts and in our lives. So these kingdoms are going on at simultaneously at this moment in time. But the Bible tells us that a day is coming when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Because he will reign. He will reign as King of Kings. And he will reign as Lord of Lords. And Jesus is coming back to do that. And so Isaiah looks forward to that day. And he tells us things like this in Isaiah 11 verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so we look to that place where little children are putting their hands into places where snakes are. Perish the thought. But that is going on. And looking forward to that future when even the whole of creation is restored and comes under the umbrella of the Prince of Peace. And so this peace is a wonderful peace, and it's cosmic in its application. It brings in the concept of us being right with God, and it looks forward to that day, like Alan spoke about, when Jesus Christ will come back again. And it's not like the world. What goes on in the world, the peace that the world offers is often to take a pill or to take some kind of potion or take some kind of substance that'll give us peace. Because people are looking for peace. And so the world offers peace. I was talking to somebody this weekend, and they were telling me about a young person who'd come from another country, and they've only been here a matter of months, and they're already involved with drugs. Because that's what often people want to take that peace. And what does the world offer? What kind of peace? I was talking to a couple of young people this week, and we're talking about spiritual matters. And as we talked and conversed about these things, and I asked a couple of questions, and on two occasions they said, that's too big a question. But we really should consider the big questions. Why are we here? What's my purpose for being here? Is there a purpose for my being here? What happens when I leave this scene of time? I was talking to someone last night who told me that they'd been at a funeral, and the person who took the funeral wasn't a person of faith, and they were saying, we believe there's just this life. Well, we don't believe there's just this life. And I can't understand why people who say that there's just this life then goes on to make declarations about the deceased which seem to suggest that there's more than just this life. It's almost a contradiction. Well, it is a contradiction. But there's this life to come. And so what kind of peace is the world giving? And we could go into great depth into what the world gives, but I would rather spend the time this morning speaking about what Jesus gives, the peace that he gives. And knowing that peace, the comfort, is amazing. Knowing that peace in the middle of the deepest storms and the darkest moments of life is a wonderful thing. And it's real. So I get my family tell me, Dad, you're always quoting old hymns. Well, Well, I'll tell you another one this morning. When peace like a river attendeth my way. So I won't spoil the flow. I won't spoil the continuity. So H.G. Spafford wrote that hymn in the middle of a trial in life, when he'd lost all the real estate and in the Great Fire of Chicago, when his children had died in a horrific sailing accident, boating accident, and in the middle of that, when he says, sorrows like sea billows roll, in the middle of that, he's experiencing peace. And he's saying to us, and he's writing this song, when peace like a river attendeth my way. So the sorrows are coming in like the sea billows of the shore, but there's a river of peace coming into his situation. Now, that's his experience. He's experiencing the comfort, the peace of God. In Hillsong United's song, Prince of Peace, so I put this in from the other side, right? Well, it's the same side, really, but just another perspective. And the song is, my heart a storm, clouds raging deep within, the Prince of Peace came bursting through the wind, the violent sky held its breath, and in your light I found rest. Tearing through the night, riding on the storm, staring down the fight, my eyes found yours. Shining like the sun, striding through my fear, the Prince of Peace met me there. You heard my prayer, hope like the sunlight, piercing through the dark, the Prince of Peace came and broke into my heart. So whether it's an old song or whether it's a new song, these authors, these poets, these hymn writers are writing, we found God's peace in the middle of the most difficult times. And I don't know if you know the story of Edith Cavell, Nurse Cavell, a Belgian nurse, shot by the Nazis for helping Allied soldiers. I remember reading her biography. It's really interesting. If you ever get a chance to read it, I commend it to you. It's a great book. And you see how nursing was back in those days. Started their days in the ward with prayer and all kinds of things. Amazing insight into what was going on. Just less than 100 years ago. And when she was killed, when she was shot, then the Bishop of Durham went to visit her mum. And the Bishop of Durham commented on the peace that Nurse Cavell had shown in the midst of her trials awaiting her execution. And then when he went to see her mum, he found the same peace there in the middle of their situation. So he turned around and he wrote this. May you be, he says, I saw in your own spirit of calm submission amidst your great sorrow. May you be spared some years to witness to Christ's blessed peace as you did to me. So he's saying, when I went to share the bad news, I saw such peace and tranquility in this woman, just like I saw in her daughter. And the Bible speaks about peace. It speaks in Philippians 4 and 7 about the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. And it'll guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, like a guard posted, that your heart and mind can be guarded by peace. What a wonderful concept. When Dan and I, with our eldest two kids, went away to Bible college in 1986, we experienced that tangible peace of God. Into our room in Fraserburgh, with all our furniture packed up, ready to go, and us sitting at the bottom of the stairs with two young kids, not knowing where the future was going to take us, just knowing that God had called us, we experienced this tangible peace of God filling our room. And we both felt it, we both sensed it. It was the peace of God came into our situation. So another occasion, a couple of years ago, two, 3 years ago maybe, we went to Largs one afternoon. And we drove to Largs and we were up beside the playing field overlooking Cumbrae. And when we were there, like, we got out of the car and we felt the peace of God in that place. It was, and we said to each other, Do you feel that? And we felt it. And we walked, and it's almost like you wanted to whisper and not speak in distinctly audible tones. And you're walking down the road and you're experiencing, we experienced this peace. And we're thinking, is it only us that's experiencing this peace? Like, what's going on? What's been happening? And as we walk down the hill and round the corner towards where the boats, the ferries go across to Cumbrae, there was a lady sitting with Bibles praying. I believe they prayed the peace of God into Largs. We felt it when we came out of the car. And what a wonderful thing God offers you today. You maybe come in with an anxious heart. You may be watching online and this is your worst season. And God wants to speak his peace into your heart. What a trade-off. Like, your anxiety for his peace. Like, your grief for his peace. His peace for your anger. His peace when you're too busy. And his peace when you feel discouraged. And so the challenge today is, do we know his peace? Not peace and an exemption from conflict, but often peace in the middle of the conflict. This peace should be evident in the life of every believer. Because if we're plugged into Jesus, then the Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit. So if we're plugged into him, his fruit should be bearing in us. So I've got a tomato plant. We got three tomato plants at Grangemouth one night. You missed out if you didn't go up to the Grangemouth outreach that night. And another tomato plant outside. And I would say that, I have two actually, but one's better than the other. And the best one, I would not be exaggerating to say that I've got 50 tomatoes off it this year. It's amazing. But I'll tell you what, I've never had a pear or an apple off it. I planted this tomato plant and I've never had a banana. I've never had a pear. I've never had a courgette. None of these things. Because it is a tomato plant. And when we're in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us that there's fruit in the life of believers. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And there's 9 fruits mentioned in Galatians 5 and 22. And the third one, love, joy, peace, is the first three. Patience, goodness, kindness, in case you think, does he know the rest? Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, so number three is peace. And so if we are abiding in him, we should be drawing that peace from him. As Colin said, we draw from him earlier on. And this is what it says in Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What a thing. That you can let the peace of God rule in your heart. You see, we can get upset and anxious about all kinds of people, all kinds of things, and all kinds of situations in our life. But God says to us, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Now, I know it can be a battle. Don't think I'm exempt from the battle. I waken up someone and I feel anxiety in my heart. Not because I'm an anxious person. I'm not really an anxious. I can be a doer kind of person. But I'm not an anxious person. But sometimes you just get a feeling. And you've got to pray through that feeling. It comes. But you've got to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. I speak to people and I say, how are you doing? And they say, no bad. I'm thinking, surely it's better than that. No great. Like, and I meet people and they say, it's an off day of the day. And that's all they speak about, like, off days and no great and stuff like that. But is that letting the peace of God rule in our heart? You know, God's, we went up to Peterhead yesterday to visit with a special celebration for Diane's parents' 65th wedding anniversary. It's worth celebrating, isn't it? 65 years. It's a terrible day. It's probably the worst conditions I've ever driven in my life. And we left in the morning, and it was pouring. Before we even got to Kincardine Bridge, there was an Audi turned around on the other side of the road with a bash front and rear, and police cars blocking off that. Cars flashing their lights to us when we went through Forest Mill, and there's like a river across the road, and it was a terrible day. But we weren't anxious. We prayed before we went and committed our journey to the Lord, and God watched us. I said to Diane last night, God's been good to us today. We went up there and back yesterday. We weren't anxious. We're not tired out. You didn't hear me saying this morning, oh, so we're up there back, I'm shattered today, it's a terrible day. But that's how some people are. But God gives you strength. He speaks peace into it. Coming back the road last night, I'm praying as I'm driving down the road. Thankfully, I know the road. And I'm praying. And there's a sense in which I believe God's watching over as we travel. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not the absence of things. It's a peace of God with us. In our circumstances. And God wants that peace to rule in our... A band can come now, because I'm just about finished. But God wants that peace to rule in our hearts. He wants that to rule in your heart and mine. And you know, sometimes we allow busyness and things and stuff to come into our lives, and it steals our peace. And God wants that peace to be ruling in our heart. He wants it to be ruling in your heart and mind now. today. He wants that peace to be there. That's what he wants for us in our hearts and lives. And you know, sometimes that peace works as an arbiter for our conscience and our souls. And we feel like writing an email. We feel like expressing our views. We feel like returning evil for evil. We feel like being like writing a text or getting a peace off our mind. And there's that little check in our hearts. And if we obey that check and we don't react, then that peace rules. But if we don't let it rule, and we give in to that, then we realize we've lost our peace. And then you've got to make peace again. And you've got to say to someone, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I wrote that. Please forgive me for that. Because the peace is no longer ruling our hearts. And God wants that. There's a beautiful picture in Psalm 131 of a child, and it says, I've stilled and quietened my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. So that picture of a baby having been fed, and it's sitting there, relaxing. You see, we need the peace of God as much today as we ever did. Back to Jesus' day, he felt his disciples needed peace in that moment. I looked up the figures for homicides in England and Wales in 2021, 22 in Scotland. That was the nearest I could get. In Scotland, 52 murders. Like there's one a week. In England and Wales, it was 710. Rick Warren wrote in January. He was writing to leaders, and he was saying, "It's hard being a pastor just now. There's all kinds of challenges, all kinds of things going on in people's lives." And he spoke. He's about the nation in America. He says, it's so bad that even the Statue of Liberty is weeping. And then we think of wars. Darren mentioned in a prayer what's going on in Israel at this moment of time. Tragic, what's going on. Ukraine, I read the other week, 70,000 people, men and women have died in the conflict. I read, and I don't know where they get this information, an average family has 452 arguments a year. I mean, where do you get that information? I mean, do you send it? Have you got an app? Every time I have an argument in my family, I send it. Has anybody here got an app with that in it? Because I wouldn't want that kind of app. Like. But we know that whenever there's people, there's problems. So what Jesus says is really, really important. Really important. And the Prince of Peace wants to give you his peace this morning. We can have peace with...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.